the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be wholly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the third Sunday after Trinity, I'm titling, God Wants to Save Everyone, and is by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Our lessons this morning give us two very different pictures of God. In the epistle, St. Peter tells us that God is mighty and even stronger than a lion. In the gospel, Jesus tells us that God is the sort of person who, rather tenderly, goes about looking for lost things. St. Peter is trying to encourage Christians to be humble, though he knows that humility is not everyone's favorite virtue. He tries to sell humility on a pragmatic and practical basis. God can't do too much for proud people, but he helps out humble people. That suggests that it is a better idea to be humble. That is not just because humility is intrinsically more becoming than pride. The very character of pride makes it impossible for a proud person to look for help from any source, let alone God. St. Peter tells us to humble ourselves under the almighty hand of God, and then, when the time is right, God will raise us up far beyond the extremes of our own pride. St. Peter describes the devil as a lion who is wandering around looking for people to eat up. I have often made the point that dogs are very negative figures in the Bible, whereas Jesus himself is a cat, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So on the basis of what St. Peter says, I cannot claim that cats are uniformly positive in the New Testament. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If we are faithful to God and if we discipline ourselves to rely upon God's help, then we will be able to resist the devil when he tries to draw us away from God and what God wants us to do. Even if we have to suffer for a while, God will work it all out for us in the end. And we will be stable and settled, something to look forward to. The gospel gives us the two parables which come just before the parable of the prodigal son, which we shall hear later on in the summer. All three parables share the common theme of loss and recovery. Jesus tells the three parables to the self-righteous Pharisees. They see that Jesus is having dinner with tax collectors and other low-life types, and they murmur against him. They whisper, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Jesus offers a parable as a way of explaining why he chooses the dinner companions he does. His overall point is that he has come to earth not to congratulate people who think they are righteous, but to look for people who know they are not righteous and who may be willing to make a change. You won't find such people among the Pharisees, who are sure they are just fine. He is far more likely to find them among public disgraces. The first parable is about a shepherd. Jesus does not just tell the parable as a story. Instead, he puts it in the form of a question to the Pharisees. Instead of saying, "There once was a shepherd," Jesus says, "If any of you were a shepherd, wouldn't you act this way?" That technique sticks the knife in a bit more deeply, of course. The idea is if one were a shepherd tending 100 sheep and one of them got lost, wouldn't one let the 99 sit while one went off to look for the lost one? And then wouldn't he bring the lost one back across his shoulders with great joy? And then wouldn't he call all of his friends together and say, Let's be happy and celebrate. I found my lost sheep. Then Jesus says that any woman who owned 10 pieces of silver and mislaid one of them would light a candle and sweep the house and look around as diligently as she could until she found it. And then, just like the shepherd with the lost sheep, she would call all of her friends together to celebrate the discovery of what had been lost. To tie both of these parables together, Jesus concludes, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." If people get that happy over finding a lost sheep or a lost coin, how much happier will God and the angels be when they find a lost human being? Taken together, two lessons raise an issue which is near to the heart of what the New Testament is all about. We can imagine that Christianity is about showing off how virtuous we are and being very proud of our own spiritual accomplishments. On the other hand, we can remind ourselves that God has come to earth to look for each one of us. And he looks for us not because we are good, but despite the fact that we are not good. If we will admit we are not good, he will take us to himself and love us and be delighted that he has found us at last. The Pharisees thought that God was mainly a rule maker and a rule enforcer. If you deviated from the rules, you were in big trouble. Jesus was trying to get them to have a bigger and deeper vision of God. He wanted them to know that God is not somebody who just makes up arbitrary rules and then crushes you when you cannot follow them. God is the sort of person who wants to save everyone and who will go looking for them until he can find them and bring them home. We are about to be invited to dine with Jesus at the altar. The question he asks before you come to the table is not, "Are you good enough?" But instead, "Do you truly and earnestly repent you of your sins?" There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.